Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Doing great, Scott. It's great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Let's look back to last week. Any actions taken in Congress you want to talk about with us?
Right. After we visited last week, on Friday, we passed reconciliation to deal with Obamacare so that we could have a simple majority vote on repealing some critical portions of Obamacare that would essentially gut Obamacare. We voted on that last Friday. Hopefully it'll get taken up at the Senate pretty soon. If the Senate gives it 51 votes or more, it'll go to the President's desk. Now, he said he'd veto it, but at least the American people knew that we have continued to give the destruction of Obamacare our best shot.
John Boehner is, of course, leaving as Speaker of the House. He said one of the things he wanted to do was, his words, clear out the barn. And so leadership from both parties in the White House have apparently come up with a deal for the nation's spending caps and debt limit. We were wondering, were they patting each other on the back or patting themselves on the back? Is this something we're supposed to feel okay about?
Well, I don't know if there was any backslapping going on, but I can tell you it's an ugly deal from two perspectives. Number one is the process was awful. I mean, Congress is supposed to work the laws up through a member-driven process where each of us individually come up with ideas. We run that through committee, and then it goes to the House floor. It's open for amendments, and it's all transparent. This was done over the course of a few days behind closed doors. It is a really ugly deal. I think it's bad for our kids' futures, and I intend to vote against it when it comes to the floor today. This deal raises the debt ceiling. It also doesn't stop the rate of the disability part of Social Security from the retirement part of Social Security. It doesn't even pay for itself. The extra spending is not offset by spending cuts and new revenues, which is a minimum part of the deal for me. The good thing about this bill, I mean, there is something good, and I need to say that, and that it provides 2 years of predictable, steady funding at higher levels for the Defense Department, and that we needed. And that's where this started out, was to lift the caps on defense spending to fit the national security needs that the country has in light of Obama's foreign policy failures. But, I mean, the bad part of it is it's just pretty smelly.
Well, one of the other things about it, and you're right, offsets are something that I think most reasonable people want anytime you do that. One of the offsets in the package is that there would be sales of oil coming out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which we've heard about for years. What does that do to the energy industry in the United States, but more pointedly, what does it do to the energy industry in Texas if this happens?
Well, it hurts the industry because to the extent that you've got the federal government dumping oil on the market, it depresses prices, and that continues to make life rough for our energy industry that's already struggling. The second thing is it means that the federal government will get less for the oil than it paid for it on average, and so it actually loses money on every barrel of oil. And then it will not meet the revenue objectives that were put in this budget bill. So overall, it's a bad deal. I do not like, and I oppose, using the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as a piggy bank to be raided every time somebody turns around and needs some extra money to pay for some gimmick in the federal government.
Will that do anything to the
terrible? The other one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Will that do anything to the prices of oil in Texas?
Oh, yeah, it'll hurt it. The good news is that it's temporary. I mean, it won't last very long. But the bad news is, yes, it will hurt the price that our producers receive, which makes it harder for them to hire people, harder to reinvest in their businesses. It will have a depressing effect on Texas.
Well, define short term for me. 6 months? What, a year?
I mean, six months at the most. It won't take too long to release the amount of oil from the reserves that they're talking about. So, yeah, it'd be very short term. That's the only good part about it. It doesn't last long.
House Republicans are going to go through with an impeachment of the IRS commissioner? Your thoughts?
I hope so. I mean, that's part. I fully support the effort. This dude has lied to Congress multiple times. Now, he's tried to get right and be more candid and to tell the truth, but I think that it's too late. He's already lied to Congress too many times. And he's just been deceptive. He's arrogant. He refuses to see the problems that the IRS has. And this guy needs to be in the unemployment line somewhere.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Yet the IRS has got tax revenues that are higher than it's ever been.
That's correct.
Can he say, hey, I'm bringing in the money for you?
Well, no, but that's because of tax law. That's not because of the IRS. Okay. It's just because of the tax law. Okay. I mean, there was a deal that passed 3 years ago. At midnight on a New Year's Eve, that basically allowed taxes to go up on part of the population, and then you've got the Obamacare taxes coming in. So our tax revenues have never been higher, both in dollars and as a percentage of GDP. It's another thing that's gone wrong in Washington today.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Not since day one, but early on, you've been pretty vocal as far as you not liking the XM Bank, yet really by a pretty wide margin that was approved by the House. Your thoughts there?
Well, I was really surprised. This was brought up on kind of a screwy procedural mechanism called a discharge petition. It's only used once every 20 or 30 years. And there's one of my Republican colleagues from Tennessee, Stephen Fincher, used the disruption of the leadership in the House and used this tool to reauthorize Ex-Im Bank. The discharge petition passed on a bipartisan basis, and then the rule passed on a bipartisan basis, and then the actual bill passed yesterday on a bipartisan basis. The Ex-Im Bank is the Enron of the federal government. It should not be reauthorized. I felt a lot more comfortable when we allowed it to expire in June 30th. But anyway, this thing has been resurrected in the House. The Senate will probably attach it to a highway bill, and it'll be resurrected there too. It's just a terrible agency. I wish we could have stopped it, but it's really interesting to see how some people behave on the. And actually, what surprised me yesterday, it got a majority of the Republicans vote. They got virtually all but one Democrat, and it got a majority of the Republicans. I was really surprised at it. I thought we were better than that.
Well, of course, the story is that Paul Ryan, by tomorrow, probably will be elected Speaker of the House. The inside vote, I guess, happens today. You know,
correct.
Two weeks ago, you and I are talking about how you're actively running for this, and you said you would stand by the sidelines if Ryan decided to enter the race. But what do you say to those people who feel like suddenly this has become a coronation rather than an election?
Well, no, I would push back on that. Paul Ryan worked for this position. When he decided to run, he sat down and laid out to him the request of the conference that needed to be met for him to run, and I think that was fair. There was no need for him to run if people were going to be coming after him to try to take him back out on the next day. And so he said, look, this is candidly where I have to stand with my family and versus fundraising. This is where we need to stand in terms of working on the rules of the House, rules and processes of the House. And if you can agree with me on these things, then I'll run. But it's not a coronation. I think it was fair. The same thing would have happened, when I was running. If they'd asked me, would you agree to do these things? What I would have said is, I will agree to do whatever the conference wants. There are 247 of us. The speaker doesn't have the sole right to make all decisions, and that's essentially the condition that Paul was laying out, is that he wanted everybody to understand that it was not him that was going to make decisions on how the House runs. It's going to be the 247 of us as a whole.
Now, he's basically said to the more conservative wing of the Republican Party that he'll have a more open process after he's elected Speaker. What does a more open process mean to us?
Well, it means that we would do things not totally opposite of the way this budget and debt ceiling bill came up. Instead of being a deal cut with the President and with folks in the Senate, it would come up from us as individual members, and quite often from our constituents, actually, through us as representatives, to our committees, then to the floor, and then it's open for amendment on the floor, and then it moves forward. That is an open, member-driven, ground-up process instead of a top-down process. That's what he has promised. He's also promised that we will use something that's referred to down around here as the Hastert Rule, which means nothing will come to the floor unless a majority of the majority support it. So in this case, that would mean that nothing would come to the floor unless you had 124 Republicans, which is a majority of the 247 we have in the House, to allow something to come to the floor. And that will stop things like some of the crazy immigration proposals that are out there, things like that. That's where Paul will be different, I think, than John Boehner.
I guess the government, public has maybe stood back. They're going to let the Republicans go ahead and make him the leader as the Speaker of the House. But what would you say to those who say this is the last best hope for the Republican Party to maintain any kind of an ability to be a majority party in the House or the Senate? Is this the last hope with Paul Ryan?
Well, I don't think it's the last hope, but it is one of our better hopes. I will tell you this: if we don't stop the infighting that's going around here, we will certainly be on a path to moving back into minority status, and then the hopes and dreams of everybody in the country that put us in office to stop the Obama agenda will be lost. And so we've got to stop the behavior that's existed within the conference for the past few months, and also we've got to get the people that are making money off of bashing Republicans to stop. I mean, there is a lot of money being made off and raised off of people bashing Republicans, and so that's got to stop. So Paul represents a chance for everybody to lay down their arms and lock arms instead and start working together to try to advance the principles that the American people sent us here to carry out.
Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. You've got a busy day, so we thank you for taking time with us today.
You bet. Look forward to giving you an update next week on everything that happened this week.
All right. Thank you, sir.